okay, they said there was no CGI in this movie. But I could point to one scene where there was 2 seconds of CGI, so I know this movie has CGI in it.
Hello and welcome to episode 44 of the Midnight Triple Feature Podcast. You can find us on the web at midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com, on Twitter and Facebook at MT Feature. You can subscribe to our channels through iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, and YouTube. And you can send feedback and requests to midnighttriplefeature@gmail.com. For today's show, we are discussing 3 college campus slashers from the early 80s, starting with Final Exam, followed by The Dorm That Dripped Blood, and ending out with Girls' Night Out. This podcast will contain spoilers. Enjoy.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to this episode of Midnight Triple Feature. Sitting across from me is Adam.
Hello.
I am Mike, so that makes this Midnight Triple Feature. Website's midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. You can click follow or like, whether you use Facebook or Twitter from there, or on Instagram now, Midnight Triple Feature on Instagram. Head over there and check out some of the stuff we've been posting. So, you want to start with anything you've been watching? Or?
Yeah,
All right,
so I've been watching some weird stuff lately because I kind of went on a non-horror sort of binge, I guess, lately. I've been mixing it in. Actually, non-horror because I'm always watching horror stuff, you know. It's just for the show and whatnot, I'm always going to be watching. But I don't know, I got like this itch to just watch a bunch of 80s comedies. So
I go through that all the time.
I get that, and for whatever reason, I usually get it around this time of year. I start watching them. So, like, I use this site called Letterboxd, and we're on there. We're not too active on there, but occasionally we're on there. But I have my own personal Letterboxd account that I'm pretty active on. And I have a watch list on there for, like, 50 movies to watch over, like, the course of the next 3 or 4 months, and they're all 80s comedies, and I'm going to watch and review those on there. But, so far I've watched like 8 off the list. I watched, I'm just gonna mention a couple because some of them are like movies I'm revisiting that I hadn't seen in forever. One of them was, did you ever see Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. So, like, Weekend at Bernie's is weird for me because I saw it back, like, when it first came out on video, I was like 6 or 7. And I just didn't like it when I was 6 or 7. I don't know. I don't think I got it. You know, like, I think the jokes were just too above my head, because there's a lot of jokes, like jabs at like corporate America and 80s sort of consumerism and things like that. And there was just a lot of stuff in it. Like the fact, like there's a scene where a woman has sex with Bernie's dead body.
Yeah.
And like when I was young, like I didn't quite get that, you know, like things like that that just didn't clicked with me now. It's been like 20. More than 20 years. It has to have been like at least 25 years since I've seen it.
And I haven't seen it in a long time either.
Yeah, man. Like, I watch it, and that's a really good movie.
Oh,
like,
it's fun as shit. Yeah, yeah, it's really real fun.
I was, like, really surprised, actually, how much I enjoyed it, because I was expecting to not like it that much based on, like, my child view of it, you know? And I had so much fun with it. It's, like, it's actually really funny. I'm not a big, the only part of that movie that I don't like, and I know I didn't like this when I was a kid either, and I'm not going to like it now, is like the love story part between one of the guys and like the intern at the office and stuff. I hate that stuff in comedies. It's so cliche. It happens in so many comedy movies where there's always this weird love thing going on. And I complain a lot about love stories and movies and stuff, but if they're good, I don't care. But like, if I'm watching a movie about a dead dude and about two guys who are trying to make a dead dude look like he's still alive so they can have a good weekend on an island, like, I want to watch that movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, like, the whole romance in there, but
there's always a side story.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need that. But overall, man, I really, really enjoyed that. I watched Weird Science.
Awesome movie.
Yeah, that one, I mean, I've seen that one at least within the last few years, and that totally holds up for me.
Yeah, they have, like,
There was a TV series, wasn't there?
Yeah, I watched a TV series. When yeah, it was on USA Network.
I just put it on my Hulu queue.
It's on Hulu?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know. Yeah, I watched it back. I remember I watched that when it premiered on USA Network back in the 90s. And I watched at least the first season, if not like the first two. It's got Vanessa Angel in it, who was in Kingpin, and like a couple other guys. I don't know. Oh, it's got like the guy. He was in Oz, the show Oz. Lee something, I think his name is. He played Chet in the series. But in the movie, Chet is played by Bill Paxton. Yeah, man, I mean, that movie actually holds up pretty well. I don't think it's a great movie. I think it falls apart a little bit in third act. And again, it's the love stories. I want to get back into that again, man, because it's like the whole thing with like Wyatt and Gary have to have the girlfriends, and then they have to do the whole thing where they fall in love and they all kiss. And I mean, John Hughes kind of puts like a nice little spin on it where they still make it funny. It's not all kind of cheesy stuff, but overall, yeah, Weird Science, I think. It's also fun to see Robert Downey Jr., like late 80s, before, you know, Iron Man and all that stuff, to see him back during that time period. It's kind of a trip to watch now because he's such a different guy now. You watch Robert Downey Jr. now to Robert Downey Jr. in the 80s, and it's two completely different people.
Yeah, like, his style's completely changed.
Yeah, it's so weird to watch. Yeah.
And it's too bad because it's hard to watch him and, like, say, like Real Steel was pretty okay.
Yeah. Wait, was he in Real Steel? Robert Downey Jr.?
I'm sorry, not Real Steel.
Yeah, I was going to say Hugh Jackman.
That was Hugh Jackman. Oh, I just watched him in something.
Well, there's Iron Man, and then there's, like, he's in a bunch of dramas and stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to watch him. Now that he's and that's a lot of thing actors hate, like, especially, like, that's why a lot of the guys leave, like, Doctor Who and stuff like that when it go too long.
Yeah,
because they become that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to watch Robert Downey Jr. in anything
because he's Iron Man now.
Yeah, other than it's Iron Tony Man. Stark. Yeah, that's the only thing I see when I watch.
That's why
him
it's
now.
Weird to watch him now in like Weird Science, because he's not Tony Stark yet, but you know he's gonna be.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like
you know his future.
Yeah, like you're watching Tony Stark before he's Tony Stark. You know. What else did I watch? I watched, like, a couple John Candy comedies, The Great Outdoors and Summer Rental. Both are just kind of, they're fine. I never really thought either one of them was great, but they're both pretty enjoyable in their own right as, you know, vacation knockoffs. And I watched My Science Project. Did you ever see that one from the mid-80s?
Oh, yeah. That's also on Hulu. Actually, I think.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's about this kid who finds this, like, this device in a junkyard, in, like, an old military junkyard, and it's actually this device that can open up portals to, like, other dimensions and time travel and stuff, and they end up setting it off in their school, and their school ends up filled with, like, dinosaurs and, like, old Roman fighters and, like, gladiators and shit.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's not a bad movie. Like, that last part, like, the last third act there, where, like, everything sort of falls apart, and they have to battle all these sort of old, you know, creatures and characters is kind of fun. It's a little bit boring in the middle, but I never saw it in the 80s, which is weird. It's the first time I'd ever seen it. It's the kind of movie that I remember seeing on the shelf, but never actually rented or anything. That's it. I got, like, a bunch of shit. Did you see the shit I posted that my wife got me for Father's Day?
Yeah.
I got Masker Mafia Style, which I haven't watched yet.
I love that movie.
Yeah, and then I've seen it before. And then I got, like, three of the Scream Factory double features. She decided to just give me all of, like, the Killer Bug, Killer Animal ones. So it's, like, the Food of the Gods and Frogs double feature, Reptilicus and Tentacles double feature.
That's a good one.
And Empire of the Ants and Jaws of Satan double feature. So I will get to those. I'm looking forward to sitting down and actually watching those because I haven't seen a lot of those movies. I've seen Frogs, Food of the Gods. I think that's it. I don't think I've seen any of the other ones, so I'm looking forward to that. It was a really good gift.
Hell yeah, it was. Yeah.
What you got?
Yeah, no, I've also been on my own little kick, too.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm just going to talk about one particular. I'm not going to go because I watched a few of them. You know, there's not nearly enough, and I just realized this, there's not nearly enough for me Western monster movies. Like, okay. You don't see. There's a few out there.
Oh, yeah. There's
I've watched probably four or five of them in the past 2 weeks.
All right. What did you watch?
But the one I want to talk about is The Burrowers.
Yeah, Burrowers is great.
You watch that?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, some of the effects are low budget.
Yeah.
Which is weird. because the rest of it really doesn't seem like it. And that was a really good movie. And I just been on this kick of like, I love westerns. I love monsters.
Yeah.
And putting the two together were great. But The Burrowers was actually surprisingly good.
It's really good, yeah. And they take a while. They don't put those monsters on screen too often. I think for the reason, like you said, they don't look
great. Almost like Tremor style.
It's very much like Tremors. But Tremors, man, the thing with Tremors is the effects of Tremors are fucking awesome. Like,
oh, yeah.
They hold up like none other today. The miniatures and the puppets. Like, you can't tell. When you watch Tremors, I you know how I would dare someone to watch that, especially for the first time, and point out to me where there's miniatures. Because you're not going to know. Like, you're not going to know when it's a fucking hand puppet. Like,
no.
That movie, the effects, and that's a great, like, sort of modern Western take on the monster movie.
Yeah.
The Burrowers is, like, set in, like, old cowboys and Indians.
Yeah. Style. And it's so good,
actually. It's really good. I remember when that came out. And
I also watched that on Hulu.
Oh, did you? Yeah. That had a lot of buzz when it came out, and then nobody really talked about it anymore. It was like, it came out, people were really excited, and then just nobody talks about it anymore. It's weird. It's like you said, it's very much like Tremors.
Yeah, no, you basically have cowboys.
Yeah.
And these things are attacking them. They don't know where they're coming from. They run into Indians.
Right.
And only one guy speaks,
English?
No, they speak English, but Indians don't.
Right.
Whatever the Indian language is.
Right.
So they're like trying to translate this whole thing. But the one dude there is the one that's actually attracting these burrowers the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's freaking awesome the way they do it. Definitely check out The Burrowers.
Mm-hmm.
And make more Western monster movies.
Oh, yeah. It's a thing that should go together really well. Now, even Tremors did it. I didn't see it, but the Tremors prequel, I think it was like part 3 or 4.
Yeah, there's
like set in like the Old West. I didn't see that one, but I know there's one that's supposed to be set in the Old West.
Let's see. I also watched Rites of Spring.
How was that? I've seen that on like
Hulu. This is on Netflix.
I've seen it on both.
Yeah. From 2000, it might be 2011.
It's got the cover with like the woman strung up by her feet or something.
Yeah. Not bad at all, actually. I think that, we talked about on another show with Redwood Massacre, they could have utilized the area a little bit more. Because basically what it is this guy is sacrificing people to make his crop grow better. So a lot of it takes place in a barn and some of it takes place in the woods.
Yeah.
And there's like this weird story, because if I tell you, it's going to give the whole thing away. But they could have just utilized the way it works a little bit better.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was actually pretty good. It was a good story. Acting was good. The effects weren't bad. So I would definitely check that one out. Have you ever watched something and then halfway through you're like, oh, this is fucking awesome. And halfway through the movie, you realize that you've seen it before and you know what the rest of the movie is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's happened to me, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Ghost House is coming out on Blu-ray. I own it. I've never watched it, so I'm going to, put it in. Actually, what I did was I actually wound up copying the DVD and putting it on a chip so I could take it with me and watch it on my laptop. And I'm like, wow, this is really good. And then halfway through the movie, I'm like, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
And then I knew what the rest of the movie was. Is this
one with, like, the clown doll and stuff?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch, on Hulu, it's on Hulu, the Riff Tracks version is on Hulu.
Oh, really?
You need to watch the Riff, it's one of those Riff Tracks versions that, like, I was dying. Like,
I'll check it out.
Yeah, like, there's a scene where, like, they're driving, like, first of all, there's that dude that always, like, pops out, like, boo, you know what I'm talking about? Like, there's, like, that hitchhiker guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
and he's got that weird, like, robotic arm thing that he uses all the time.
Yeah, like, it's like,
I don't know what the hell it is.
Like,
the
scenes in that, but then there's, like, this song that plays throughout, it's like, doo.
Dude, when that clown comes on and plays, that is some trippy shit.
Yeah.
Like, but that's cool.
Like, this scene where, like, they're driving around in the car and that song is playing on, and this is on the Riff Tracks version, and they start singing along to the theme, and it's like, driving in my car. It's just like, look at that parking space. And it's just, they make this whole song around it that's just really dumb but really funny. And, like, they keep pretending that they're, like, the Italian director talking. And one guy would be like, but director, I don't understand. Why are we showing them drive on every single street to get to the building? He's like, you don't understand American audiences. They won't know how they got to the house if you don't show it. It's like, oh, my God, I was dying.
Yeah, no, there is a lot of driving around.
Yeah, and they call that out a lot in the movie. But there's, like, some really, like, decent cheesy effects, you know, and it's a fun movie, man. It really is a fun movie.
Yeah, no, it's
I have a good time with it.
I don't like haunted house things. Like yeah. I don't like ghosts and crap right. like that. I'm not into. But this here was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I like
it's actually a really good flick. But it was just weird that I had seen it, and I'm pretty sure I've seen it multiple times.
For some reason,
just don't remember watching it.
I had a
it.
Similar sort of situation with that same exact movie where I was like, I watched it. This was a while ago, and I realized, yeah, it was like at some point, it realized that I had either seen parts of it or I had definitely rented it and watched it when I was a kid, and then I just had sort of forgotten. There's like points in the movie where you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I've seen that before. But you don't know if you actually saw it from the movie or if you saw it like in a clip somewhere else, but.
Let me see if this is the music. I'm not sure if this is,
Is this the riff jacks thing you're looking at or?
No, this is, I don't even know what the hell I'm looking at.
Yeah,
this music here?
No, that's the other one. Yeah, that's the one because they have another period where like the music's playing and they're pretending like they're the voice of the little girl or the father, and it's like, can you please turn off that creepy music again? Like, why do you have the music on?
It's actually pretty creepy, like, and the doll actually jumps out a few times.
Yeah, the
and, like,
doll,
jumps
man.
On people and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And then I was thinking while I was watching, I was like, I wonder how Adam would have compared this when we did our other show. I was like, this doll versus, like, Chucky?
Oh, I didn't even think about the Ghost House doll just because it, you know, it wasn't alive. Let's see. I'm just going to see if I can... No, this isn't it. Hang on. I just want to find one clip. Ugh, I'm not going to be able to find it. I would have to end up going on. I so badly want to just find a scene from it. Hang on. If I can get this to play.
Brother and all. The doors are fun.
They're driving into town slowly.
Wait, I thought she ditched him.
She couldn't resist his charming douchebaggery.
They're trying to find the perfect parking spot. Wait.
Wait.
On the left.
On the left.
Next to that hardware store.
Director, should we start the scene here?
Are you nuts? How will people know what route they took to get here? You know nothing about horror films.
That's awesome.
Okay, now remember, I'll distract the guy. You stuff as many coffins in your pants as you can.
You could say something, you know. You haven't said a word since we left Boston.
Leave me alone. Just hurry. I don't want to sit here like an idiot all day long.
I prefer to drive around like an idiot all day long.
Did you record that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you gotta watch the whole thing, though. It's like,
I didn't know that was on there.
No, man, I found it one day. I was like, oh, I wonder if, I was thinking Ghost House, because Scream Factory's putting it out.
Yeah, putting it out on Blu-ray.
And I was like, oh, I'm gonna see if anybody has it streaming. And then that came up, and I was like, alright, I gotta watch it. And I just put it on right then. I was, oh my, it was like 10:30 at night, and I sat there and watched whole thing.
Because I just watched that whole thing. And, I actually enjoy it. But I think I'm going to enjoy it more if I watch Riff Tracks.
Watching it with Riff Tracks, you know how Riff Tracks like changes the way you watch a movie. So.
That would be a good one to do at your house outside.
Ghost House?
And just laugh our asses off.
Yeah, that would be a good time, man.
You know?
Yeah. Although, yeah, I mean, yeah, with a smaller group, I guess. The larger group wouldn't appreciate that for sure.
No.
They couldn't even appreciate, like...
Just a select few.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. People are going to get it.
Yeah.
I also watched this real quick, After School Massacre. The only thing I'm going to say about this is just completely avoid it. Just,
all right.
Yeah, don't even hit play. It's one of those movies that's like, hey, we want to be like Troma, but we don't know how to make a Troma movie.
Right.
So we're just going to make something similar, and it's not very good at all.
Yeah, those are always fun, though.
So, but other than that,
all right.
Haven't seen too much.
All right, you got any news, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I got a couple of things.
All right.
We interrupt this program to give you an important news bulletin.
This is a special bulletin.
Special bulletin.
Shut the fuck up!
So, did you see Mad Max?
No.
All right.
I know, I need to.
It's a need.
I know.
I want to go back and see it again before it goes out of theaters.
Yeah.
I actually took the old lady, and I showed her the trailer, and she's like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go watch this, you know, something to do. And then we left, and she was like, can we watch it again?
Oh, really?
I was like, well, not tonight. Yeah, we can definitely go back and see it at some point. The movie is phenomenal. Mm. It's really good. They're actually, I was reading an article. And the way they're going to do this, I bet you it's going to work no problem. The DVD, the Blu-ray, is going to feature a silent black and white cut of it.
Really?
The movie is so good that you really don't need any dialogue to know what the hell is
going
on.
That'll be really interesting to watch.
Yeah. So I'm psyched for that to come out.
No, I actually like that idea that a movie can function without any sound. That's the way that, you know, I feel like if you can make a movie where you required no exposition and yet your audience can still fully understand it, you've done something right. Like, I really believe that.
Yeah, I mean, the dialogue that's in it, you know, is
at least for, like, a movie like this. It's not going to be applicable to, like, you know, a
I think Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, you could watch that with no sound and
that's
still know
pretty,
what's going
on. You actually could watch that entire... There almost is no dialogue in that movie.
Yeah.
There's very little dialogue.
Yeah, and there's very little dialogue in this. I mean, there's enough so, like, to carry whatever scene is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if it wasn't there, it wouldn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
But what I really enjoyed about this, though, was in the theater, in the surround sound, in the bass, the audio is unbelievable because it's just mainly cars driving through the desert crashing blowing stuff up and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's a few parts you might not get without sound, but I'm really waiting to see this because it's that good.
Yeah.
So, and people are freaking out and they're like, I was listening to this thing the other day. Well, not the other day, maybe a couple weeks back. And they're like, everybody keeps saying there's no CGI in this movie. This movie's got CGI. Well, of course it does. They can't just produce a sandstorm.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's certain things that they can do.
I don't think they're saying there's no CGI. I think what they're saying is that, like, most of this is not CGI. Like, where it matters. You know what I mean? I think that's the point.
All of the the driving.
Right.
There's these huge poles on the cars that are, I don't know how freaking high they are, but they're huge. And they're, like, flimsy. So there's guys on the tops, and what they do is they use their body weight to swing and then land on top of other cars.
Right.
So that's all practical. Right. All the car stuff is practical.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just the stuff that they couldn't produce, you know, the sandstorms and stuff like that, or those night effects.
My apologies to any fanboys who may be listening to this, but fanboys are fucking idiots. Like, fanboys get out there and are like, okay, they said there was no CGI in this movie. But I could point to one scene where there was 2 seconds of CGI, so I know this movie has CGI in it. And then, you know what I mean? Like, they'll be like, so this movie lied to me, and that makes it terrible. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what happens, is they get this stuck in this fucking mentality of, like, the movie said this, and the movie delivered this instead, and that makes movie bad. Because they just want to find shit to bitch about.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a legitimate thing to bitch about it. I'm all for that.
Find anything to complain about this movie.
Don't fucking... The way that criticism works today, at least for, like, fanboys and a lot of online bloggers and what, is they find this need to complain about whatever it is they're watching because there's, like, I don't know if it's this belief that people will only pay attention to you if you're complaining about it. But to me, like, I'm always been on the side of, you know, we're fans of this stuff, so let's try to support it and embrace it as best we can. If it's good. If it's shitty, fine, it's shitty. You know, it deserves what it gets. But in a case of something like this, where I haven't seen it, but I know that you've recommended it, I've heard many other people recommend it, get behind it. Don't find the one fucking stupid thing about it that you think is worth bitching about and bitch about it. It's a complete waste of your time. And it's a waste of everyone else's time.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is you're then trying to form an opinion in someone else's brain that that's the way they should feel too. That they should care about that. And it's not worth caring about at all.
No, they also threw a big fit about the chick that's in it. She wasn't feminine enough. And
yeah, I heard about that shit. Shut up.
Shut up. Just go see the damn movie.
There was a dude that wrote this whole fucking thing about that movie who hadn't even watched it.
I hate when people do that.
Yeah, he was like, oh, Mad Max is a movie about men, manly men, and this movie is all about the feminist agenda. I haven't actually seen it yet, but that's what the trailers show me, so I know that's what it's about. Fuck you, you stupid asshole. You know what I mean? Shut up. I'm sorry. Come on.
Yeah, no, see it. Buy it on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Daredevil on Netflix. Season 2.
Yeah.
Shane from The Walking Dead is going to be playing The Punisher.
Really?
Yes.
What?
Wow. I can't wait for this.
That's interesting, yeah.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I want to see how they play it because the Daredevil doesn't kill anybody.
Right.
The Punisher is all about killing people.
He is a vigilante hardcore. Yeah. That's what he does.
And I think he's got the look for it. I think he's got the look for the Punisher.
Oh, he definitely does. Yeah.
You know, stocky kind of Italian looking guy.
Yeah, no, he's got it.
And I think it's going
to
be good.
That's cool. I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that season 2. Man.
Because season 1 was awesome.
It really was.
And ended on a great note.
It really was. It was really good. And now I'm really curious to see like what they're doing, because they're doing Iron Fist, and they're doing, what's his name?
They got a ton of stuff.
They got
out.
At least 3 or 4 more series, and then they're doing, you know, the Defenders or whatever it is. The Defenders?
The Defenders.
What's the one that's Daredevil and... It is, right? Yeah.
So
they're doing a miniseries on that. So they're going to bring them all together. So they're I'm hoping
all
that
done
the
by
other...
Netflix?
Yeah. Netflix has all that stuff coming
out. Yeah, I didn't
out.
Hear about that.
Yeah, they got a bunch of shit lined up, so.
So, yeah, I'm excited because these two are polar opposites.
Oh, yeah, that'll be interesting.
So it's going to be interesting.
They both, you know, stand for the same thing in theory, which is, like, basically eliminating bad people, right?
Yeah.
But Daredevil takes it from the point of view of you can eliminate them and then use the law at the same time to kind of help yourself along. And, you know, like, he's that side of the – he's, like – he has to do what he does because the law doesn't always cooperate, but he can try to put these people into the hands of the people who can take care of it. He doesn't have to kill them. He can just beat them to the point where they don't want to do it anymore, you know? But yeah, Punisher is not that guy.
Yeah, the Daredevil.
Punisher is a murderer.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, I'll break the organization from within.
Exactly.
Where the Punisher's like, I'm just going to kick in the door and start shooting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to murder as many people as I have to murder.
So this year is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know what the arc is going to be, if it's going to be the whole season, if he's going to pop in and out, if there's, you know, going to be 2 or 3 episodes. But I hope...
It won't be the whole season because it's Daredevil's series. So I doubt that they'll, like, focus in on him. They'll probably handle him this similar way they did with Kingpin, where it's like, you know, you'll get your episodes devoted to that character to kind of give you what you need and then see how his story will affect Daredevil's story. I mean, that's what I would think. Because you don't want to make this about the Punisher.
No.
It's Daredevil's series, so. No, that's good. That's good. I like to hear that. Because I love the Punisher. I love that character.
So. Yeah, the Punisher's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you watched the first 8 minutes of MTV Scream?
No.
Yeah, so they posted it the other day.
I know.
I took a look at it and watched it. They play you, huh?
Glad someone did.
they play the first full 8 minutes of, I'm guessing, the first episode.
Yeah.
It really doesn't look that bad.
Oh, really?
It does not look that bad at all.
Okay.
If they didn't bullshit us in this trailer or this first 8 minutes, they don't really hold back on anything. If you haven't seen it, I'll spoil the first 8 minutes for you. You can go and watch it online if you want.
Yeah.
But one thing I don't get is in the Scream series, what's with the house that's all glass on one side?
I don't know.
It's in like every freaking movie. it's basically like this chick, and she gets out of a car, and this dude's like trying to sleep with her, and she was like, no, I don't need you for that. I just need you for a ride home.
Yep.
And then she goes home. She's going to go out to the pool or whatever. She starts getting crazy text messages from the guy who she thought she was with.
Yeah.
Then she decides she's going to go out into the hot tub, and then the guy starts texting her videos of her, like, in her house, at the pool, like, in real time.
Yeah.
So, for whatever reason, she thinks it's fine just to go outside, you know, like always. And then she goes out to the hot tub, and she's sitting in the hot tub, and she gets a text message from the guy again, and then all of a sudden the dude's head gets thrown into the pool. And they don't cut away. Like, you see the head, you see the blood in the pool, and it's actually pretty graphic. Then, you know, Ghostface shows up, slashes her across the back. They don't cut away from that. It looks like the movie. It really does to me. The only thing that's going to throw me off is they do show Ghostface. And, you know, the rights with the mask and all that. It's a completely different mask. Kind of similar, but it's not the same. But no, if they didn't bullshit us in that first 8 minutes, it actually looks pretty good.
Well, maybe I will check out. I won't bother watching the first 8 minutes, but I maybe will check out the pilot when it comes.
So
maybe I will. But if you're saying it looks like it could be good, maybe I'll give it a chance. It, you know, TV's tough because I don't have a lot of time, you know, so it's like if I'm going to devote myself to a TV show, it's got to be good. You know, it's got to be worth it. I don't want to waste time.
Everything I've ever watched on MTV that I've liked has only gone a season.
Yeah, like, me
they
too.
They burn everything.
Me too. And that's a big part of it. It's, they're unreliable. And even if they give you something good. Actually, if they give you something good, it's going to go away. If they give you something bad, it's going to stay. And it has to do a lot with the audience.
I mean, how many Jersey Shore, that was MTV, right?
Yeah.
How many episodes did that fucking go for?
How many seasons of The Real World do you need on MTV?
That's been going in since the early 90s.
Right. How many times do you need the fucking Real World Road Rules Challenge? How many times do you need...
It's that reality shit that's selling.
And that's just where they are now, and that's not...
Like, I loved Death Valley. Loved it. To the point where I bought the first season on DVD.
Yeah, like...
It went one season, and I don't know why,
like,
because
you can
it was an awesome
see
show.
That there's, like, MTV... Like, there's people at MTV that want these properties to work, because they wouldn't put them out there if they didn't. And they obviously see the value in it. But the audience isn't finding it, or the audience isn't seeing the value in it. And part of it's the fact that it's on MTV. You know, like, I don't think that there's a lot of people who are into horror who are going to seek out series on MTV because they don't trust MTV as a brand. They don't trust that MTV is going to give them quality content. And that's, I think that's what it comes down to. They just don't trust MTV because of its reputation at this point.
Yeah, like I said, the first 8 minutes looked good, so let's hope.
Maybe I will check out the pilot then, if just out of curiosity. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure when it's supposed to come out, but it's got to be soon if they're putting stuff out this fast.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's all I had.
All right. Yeah, I didn't have any news.
So, that's it.
That's it. I don't even have releases today. I didn't do shit because my fucking been so busy.
Yeah, well, yeah, me too, you know, so.
It's been insane. Next episode, hopefully, be more prepared with that stuff. I did look at news, but I just didn't see anything that really caught my attention. So.
I had one other thing. I don't know what happened to it. It was the translation screw-ups for the Avengers.
People
walked out of, like, a Japanese theater.
I didn't hear about that. That's funny, though.
Let me see if I can find it. All right, so here's some of them. It says... At one point, Captain America says in the film, "I'm home," which was translated to "I'm good." And this is, you know, translating from English to Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Another point, a line, "having to wait too long" becomes "I'm very old" in Chinese. When Captain America gives advice by saying, "you get hurt, you hurt them back. You get killed, you walk it off." It comes across in Chinese as "run fast if someone tries to kill you."
That's awesome.
In another scene, Iron Man tries to rally the troops to fight to death with the line, "we may not make it out of this," but for some reason in the translation of Chinese, it said, "let's back off now."
Wow.
The line, "son of a bitch," was translated to "my old familiar friend, I have a dream."
Come on. Yeah. That's good.
So that was, and it just says here that they finally just got tired of the translation, so they got up and walked out of the movie. I'm pretty sure there was more of them.
That's hilarious. And that's a big fuck up.
So, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things lost in translation, but that bad.
That's really bad. So,
that's pretty bad. So, all right, what, you want to just get into the reviews?
Yeah, we might as well, right? What do you want to do first?
It's up to you.
Why don't we do Final Exams? That's the one I watched most recently, so why don't we start there?
We're on the trail.
Right.
At Lanier College, they have the finest security, the best teacher-student relations, no fraternity hazing, strictly enforced curfews.
Shh. What was that?
And a killer. He's come back. Final exam.
When are you going to realize that the whole world isn't made of psychopaths?
She's a murderer around campus, killing people.
Some may pass the test.
Lisa!
God help the rest. Sam, he's come back.
All right, so that was the trailer for Final Exam 1981. Now, I had never seen Final Exam before. Had you? Was this new for you?
No, I've seen this before.
You have seen this before. So, now, this one was recently put out by Scream Factory on Blu-ray, right? Wasn't Final Exam?
Yeah, it was either just out or going to be.
Yeah. So that was kind of the reason, one of the things I think that kind of put my attention towards it, because I had never seen it. I'm a fan of slasher movies, but there's so many out there. I'm always seeking them out. So, I didn't really know what to expect. I'm going to say it off the bat. I think Final Exam is a pretty weak slasher film, personally. I've seen other people really give it quite a bit of praise, but it was made on a budget of $60,000, from what I'm getting on IMDb.
I think 160 or 60?
60 from what I see on IMDb. Which I think shows, because, I mean, this college campus is like the barest college campus you've probably ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where they can take a dude, strip him naked, put ice cubes in his underwear, tie him to a tree, and he could stay there all day long, and nobody will bother to help. Like, he could die out there. And, like, the only person that ever finds him is a security guard who basically is just like, not gonna let you down because that's tradition around these putts, you know, like, I'm just going to pour more alcohol into your penis. Like, that's...
Yeah. Well, I think half the budget went to Jack Daniels.
Yeah, it probably did. Yeah. So, like, right off the bat, I think that kind of hurts it. The fact that they don't give an explanation as to why there's no one there. Like, we're going to talk about The Dorm That Dripped Blood, which is another really low-budget slasher movie. But they at least have a reason as to why there's no one on campus, because they're going into, like, winter break. So everyone's going home. There's no one there. This movie, like, they're in the middle of fucking, like, they're hazing the shit out of everybody. Which is, like, what is it about hazing that, like, they have to deal with, like, stripping dudes nude and, like, doing, like, weird shit like that? Is that, why? What's that all about?
I have no idea. Yeah, it's always they're nude or they have to do something nude.
I know.
Or it's always somebody naked.
Yeah, like, you're always stripping down
people.
But
the girls never do that. Like, the girls
that
haze. Right,
it's the dudes that do it.
It's always the dudes.
Yeah. Like, you always see things, like, where dudes are getting their asses paddled. And, like in Revenge of the Nerds, they do the whole thing where, like, they want them to have sex with sheep and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know what I mean? But, so I think it hurts there. I also think it takes a really long time for anything to happen.
Yeah, and there's a long time between everything happening.
Yeah. So, like, you open with a kill, right? And then it's, like, I was checking the time, and it was, like, almost at the hour mark before, like, the killings really picked up. And they all, and here's the thing, like, the end of the movie I actually liked quite a bit. Because, like, it's just people getting killed, and, like, when that dude gets killed in the tree, they just, like, stabbing the shit out of him. Like, stabbing him again and again and again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's pretty brutal, and, like, when the killer beats the shit out of that asshole Jack guy, he just, like, they're just, like, fucking brawling in the gym or whatever. Like, I like all that stuff, but I don't know why they didn't make it so that, like, every 15 minutes there was a kill.
Yeah, you know what else is pretty weak is, and this happens in a lot of movies, Friday the 13th does and stuff like that.
Right.
Where they pack a body in a locker, and then somebody opens it and it falls out.
Right. I mean, that's been happening for so long now.
But it's so weak in this, it's like,
I know
it's going to happen.
Right.
There's no, like, noise for a jump scare. It just happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I just found it to be incredibly weak for a movie that recently got a Blu-ray release, and It should be available. I mean, I hate to see any movie disappear, so I wanted to make sure. I want to make sure that these movies, that these distributors, you know, put them out there. I think it's important that people watch them. But for me, man, I was just like, oh my god, when is something gonna happen? And the other problem is that, for the most part, like, those fucking fraternity guys are assholes. Like, at what point is it funny to get out of a van, pretend to murder a bunch of fucking students on campus, jump back into your van and drive away, and everybody's laughing like, oh. Like, one person's like, I knew it was a joke because I saw the frat thing on there. I was like, it fucking looked to me like they were slaughtering students on a fucking campus.
Except for Radish.
She was the only one.
He's the only one that runs it for
And then they get mad at him. They're like, well, you called the cut. You know, like, no one's dead. And he's like, yeah, but they fucking jumped out of a van with machine guns and started, like, mowing people down. Like, yeah, he should call the fucking cops.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing you should do is call the police.
He wasted his quarter.
Wait,
do you even need a quarter to call 911?
Although, I said to you before we started recording, I think Radish is the best thing about this movie.
Yeah. Well, there's so, it takes so long. Like, there's scenes where there's a kill, and then, like, they're walking across the yard,
mm-hmm.
and then it takes forever for them to get into, say, the gym, and then
killer's
already there. It's like,
so
it just took
filler.
You 20
and
minutes. The killer took a shortcut.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. He's waiting around.
Yeah.
The killer's weird, too, in this movie. What? Like, he's just, like, this dude with, like, a weird bowl cut, and, like, you see, like, I thought they were gonna have some kind of mystery to it, but, like, you basically just kind of see this dude pretty early on, and, like, you just kind of, like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, there's
just
no surprise.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no guessing.
Yeah, there's, like, any red herrings that they bother to set up, like, they do set up some red herrings early, are just completely thrown away because they show you this dude so early. They're like, all right, well, I know it's not these people that they're trying to make me think it might be because I can see him, like, his entire face in the light and his weird bowl cut. Like,
and then, like, I didn't grow up. Well, I was born in the 80s, but I didn't grow up in the 80s,
yeah.
So I'm not sure if the times were different, say, growing up in the 70s to the 80s. But what man has a woman walk into a room, basically want you to go with her?
Yeah.
To do who knows what.
Right.
But you're going to sit there topless with your other topless buddy and then pour liquor in each other's mouths? And
yeah, man, these frat boys in this movie are presented in a very odd way. There's a lot of weird homoerotic stuff going on between these guys. Maybe that's intentional, you know?
It's just weird.
Maybe that's how it really is.
Maybe.
I'm on YouTube right now, actually, and I'm looking, and I found this clip. It says, Final Exam Best Scenes. And I kind of want to see what it is. I was looking for Radish quotes, because I think Radish, I really do think that Radish is, like, the best part of this movie. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But there's, I don't know, like, he's, I don't know. He's a weird character. Let's just see what comes up here. I bet there's a lot of Radish. Yeah, let's see. I'm going to play this with Mike. If it actually plays, let's see. I am connected to your Wi-Fi, so it should.
Who's that?
Alright, that's a kill. It's like, that's funny. This dude has superhuman strength, too. Like, really superhuman strength. Did they ever explain any of that?
No.
They didn't, right? They never explained any of, like, the fact that he, I don't know. He just lifted a dude out of a fucking car. Let's see, what's this? Oh, here's a dude tied to the tree.
Oh, with the whipped cream?
Yeah, with the with the shaving cream and whipped cream and the ice cubes down his pants.
Can you help me?
So, like, that's another thing. They tie this dude to a tree because he might have sex with someone.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, you like this girl, so we're going to tie you to a tree and strip you nude.
And then they tell her, and then she's just like, yeah, I'll go.
Like, they're like, he's tied to a tree.
She's like, oh, all right, yeah, he'll be fine.
That's right, get me out first and kiss me later. Hurry, get the other rope.
Oh, this is that kill I was talking about, actually, where you stab the shit out of him with a knife. Come on, Radish, where are you? I know you're in here somewhere. Like, just watching it now, I just start laughing. What do you think of that music, by the way?
Where are you?
very amateurish.
Yeah.
It was done on like a Casio keyboard.
This is all you hear through the whole movie too, is this.
It's almost a play on like Halloween.
I think that's what they were trying to do.
But not quite.
Yeah. Halloween, and they forgot to give the killer a mask.
Yeah.
All right, well, we spent all the music on that Casio, so I guess we got to get ourselves we can't get ourselves a mask, so we're just going to show his face in broad fucking light. That killer is pretty brutal, though. He just stabbed him like 15 times. Come on, Radish, where are you? Oh my God, why is this the best scene? Who put this thing together? It's just, that was just like a random scene of like the gymnasium. All right, hang on. No, I don't. I want to watch Radish. Oh my God, it's more of the gymnasium.
Yeah, well, that pops up a ton in this.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah,
I
guess.
It's like, they were like, what do we have access to? The gym? Yeah, it's got good acoustics. Let's go in there.
Stop screwing around. Yeah, there's the music again. Let's see. That's a good kill, though. I don't know. I think, like, some of the kills are good. It's just that they all happen in the end of the movie. That was the problem. Like, the killing by exercise equipment, I thought I kind of liked that. And why was there a run? Oh, my God. That's so stupid. Damn it. I guess I'm not going to get any Radish. Yeah, you know, watching it now, really, I don't mind the kills so much. That is definitely the better part of the movie. Come on, where are you? Here's a chicken bed. Oh my God, more of that fucking music. Really? You're not gonna give me the clips I want? I should have pulled those clips out.
Yeah, no, those weren't. Whoever made that was like, oh, Radish is so dumb.
That's exactly what
I'm not putting him in these clips.
They literally just, the last 4 minutes of this best scenes was that entire fight. This best scenes, by the way, were all from that third part of the movie that I said was the best part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the kills. Like, oh, the best parts of the movie, oh, it's the kills. Oh, man. So I'm not going to get any Radish. I apologize. Anyway, he was my favorite part of the movie. He was annoying and, like, I don't know. No. He was, like, the smartest one, you know? Like, he was the only one that was like, yeah, we should call the police. Like, that is, in the one thing in movies that people don't do enough is call the police.
Yeah, well, there's I think it's in the trailer where she's like, why are you so obsessed with, there's no serial killer or something.
Yeah,
like
I know, I know. Like, and he's like, oh, people die every day or something, or people are killed every day for no reason. But, Final Exam. I don't have anything else to say about Final Exam.
Yeah, me neither.
There's nothing to this movie. It's literally, like, a weird college campus, like a real bad college campus comedy, like the first hour, and then the last half an hour is a slasher movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
I couldn't see wanting to buy this on Blu-ray ever, personally, but...
No, there's certain movies that don't need a Blu-ray. That's one of them. DVD, because if you want to own it, and you can't get it any other way, fine. Blu-ray doesn't need it.
Alright, so let's go on. We'll do The Dorm That Drip Blood.
It's time for a crash course in terror at the dorm that dripped blood.
Great.
What's wrong? The phone's dead.
Did you hear anything up on the roof?
Do you think we need to go up there?
Need to? Yeah, we don't need to do anything.
Blood, where the only thing you'll learn is how to die. The Dorm That Dripped Blood, rated R.
All right, The Storm That Dripped Blood, or as you know it, Pranks.
Yeah.
As I know it, Death Storm. There are so many different, those are the three cuts that I know of. Storm That Dripped Blood, Death Storm, and Pranks. Now, I'd be curious, because I'm on IMDb now, and we've got an hour and 24 minute cut, which is what you watched. That would be Pranks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
According to this, the unrated Blu-ray is an hour and 44 minute cut. Now, the cut that I watched was an hour and 29 minutes. That was Death Storm. So I'm wondering if the Blu-ray actually has even more stuff in it than what either you or I saw in the cuts we saw. An hour and 44 minutes, that's 20 minutes more than what you watched.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I would like to see what I missed.
Right, yeah. I'd be curious. Because for me, I watched an hour and 29 minute cut, so I'm 15 minutes.
Because I was pretty satisfied with what I saw.
Yeah.
But if I could see more, then...
So let's try to figure out then, because we definitely had to have watched different cuts. I'm guessing we did. I mean, unless there was like one of those weird things that I was talking to you about before where whoever was on YouTube like slowed it down by like a couple frames or whatever so they can get past copyrights. But because we watched this was YouTube that we watched. Now, the version I watched had, you know, like the murders were all pretty graphic. So I'm wondering if...
Oh, I thought you had this on DVD.
No, I don't. I had YouTube version of this. But I had two different YouTube versions. I had Pranks and Deathstorm cuts, both from YouTube. So I would love to have the Blu-ray, but it's expensive, man. It's like I would have had to drop over $20 to get the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I just didn't have the money, so I really, really wanted it for this review because I wanted that. First of all, I've heard that it looks really good. So I think that's a Synapse release, and if I'm correct, I've read really good reviews on that release, that they did a great job with it, and that, you know, it is the uncut version. But, like, so let's talk about, like, one kill, a couple kills in particular, because the kills I thought were really good in this movie, like, really graphic and up close. The scene with the drill in the bathroom, right, there's a dude that gets a drill to the head. That would be one scene that I would think would take a cut. So, from the version I saw. So, I'm going to try to, like, piece together what you saw and what I saw and if they're the same thing or different.
Let's see.
Right? So, like, in my version, the killer takes the guy in the bathroom, puts his head down to the sink, takes the drill, puts it into the back of his head, like the base of his skull.
Yeah.
Puts the drill into his skull. And you see it cuts to like a clearly fake head. It's an obvious fake head. And you see the drill like go all the way into the head and it doesn't cut. I mean, it's like full on graphic drill to the head murder. I'd be curious if you saw what I saw there.
Yeah, I know. There was, I saw the whole thing like go through.
Yeah.
It didn't cut. I don't think it cut at all.
Yeah.
Because usually you can tell.
Yeah. Like, did you get, like, the whole plaster head thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The scene where the girl's parents are killed, so they show up to pick her up, and they're all murdered, and the father gets beat to death with, I don't remember what it was, like a tire iron or something, I don't remember what it was. I mean, I'm asking you to remember things that, you know, you probably wouldn't, because you saw it in your own way, so you're talking about a few seconds, so it's hard to kind of figure it out. But, like, I know in that scene, it was also pretty graphic because he just beats him and beats him and beats him against a wall. I'd be curious to see, like, where those 6 minutes are, or if it's just a fucking YouTuber thing where they slowed it down.
Or maybe they had other
maybe
full
it could,
scenes.
Yeah, that's true. Drew, it could be something like that. It might not even be violence. It might just be that there's more scenes in there of the characters themselves.
Or maybe even other kills. Oh, no, because
pretty much
every character accounted for.
So, yeah, I mean, the movie was made for $90,000. I mean, I think the budget shows, but I said earlier, they handle it well, whereas in the case of, like, a Final Exam where they just kind of throw a handful of actors onto a college campus to try to make you think that school's in session... Storm That Dripped Blood, they took a handful of actors and then told you that they're on Christmas break so that it would make sense that there's no one there and that they're cleaning out this old dorm that's going to be torn down. So, of course, there's no one living there. There's no students left behind because they all had to get out anyway to prepare for the demolition. So I think it handles the material better, but...
All right, well, here's what I saw.
All right.
See, they didn't cut it all.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, we saw the same thing. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd be curious to see... Because you can tell when it goes from the real head and back.
Yeah, yeah. What's the timestamp? What's the runtime on that?
That was at...
No, what's the total runtime on that?
128.02.
See, so that's the long cut.
Why couldn't they put the dump closer to the co-op?
That's the one I watched.
Oh, so you watched it on YouTube.
It's pretty, isn't it?
Well, I watched the one you sent me.
But that was shorter than this. Same that was an hour and 24 minutes.
Hey, look, here
was it?
Yeah.
I can tell you by the title screen.
Oh, yeah, that's true. See what the title screen is, because if it says pranks.
Because the title screen comes right after the first kill, which
yeah,
is right
yeah,
in the game.
Right.
It's right here. Oh, yeah, yeah, because mine said pranks.
Yeah, this is the cut I watched, Deaththorn.
Okay. So, yeah, it was different.
But it doesn't mean that kill was. It doesn't mean that kill was different. But
yeah, I would like to see what I missed. I might have to go
right?
back.
Right? Yeah, you'd be curious. Just like I'd be curious of what that full cut has in it. But either way, I mean, I think I don't know if it really matters which cut you watch. I mean, I'm sure it matters, but to a point, you said that you enjoyed pranks regardless. So
yeah.
I actually found like I don't think it was that hindered by budget. Like I said, I think they were smart about it. They used their location well. By setting it in, like, you know, just basically one place, one building, they kind of handle those problems of, again, the questions of attendance and whatnot and other students. But I think the kills, they are just nasty, like, really, like I said, that drill kill is pretty, pretty graphic, but in a good way, obviously.
Yeah, well,
you know?
The drill goes in, it actually takes a piece.
Yeah,
of the
yeah.
skull and skin, and then spins it around
yeah,
and gets
yeah.
stuck to it. It's...
Which I don't. I doubt that was intent. That probably wasn't even intentional.
No,
it was just like a happy accident,
yeah.
you know. But yeah, like the scene where the father gets beat to death, and then like the kills throughout the movie are actually pretty graphic, and they don't cut away. They kind of willing to show you everything, and I think that's definitely the way to go when you're dealing with like a really low budget slasher like this, because you can't afford to give us. It's not Friday the 13th, but you could afford to even give us like. A bunch of, like, you know, big-name actors and, like, really slick-looking locations and things like that. So.
Yeah, but this is a good example of using your location,
mm-hmm.
using your characters, and changing up the kills.
Yeah, like, that's what I like that it's not like, the killer has a knife and the killer just stabs people again and again and again. Like, every single kill in this movie is different.
Yeah, and I like that.
They have a great red herring, the curly-haired dude.
Yep.
Who was, like, digging through trash and shit. Like, they set him up immediately as the killer. And, like, spoiler alert, he's not the killer. But if you think he is, then you haven't seen enough slash movies. Because they set him up as the killer so early that you know he's not. Were you fooled, like, when it came down to the end?
No, not at all.
Not at all, right? Yeah, you knew it was the other guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, you knew he was the fucking killer.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty standard formula.
She fucking, like, that dude. Okay, so if I'm that curly-haired guy, right? Trying to help this girl. Trying to help her, trying to get her out of this fucking dorm because I know that there's some dude running around killing people. But the minute she starts to machete me in the arm, I'm like, fuck this shit, I'm leaving. Go fucking die. Like, at no point am I going to continue to chase her around that dorm and try to help her. You know, I'm going to be like, no, I'm done with you.
The one thing that, like, I'm pretty sure it's the same as probably both versions because I just played the one that you watched and it was the same. Immediately, you get a kill, and you get a graphic, like, cut through the hand.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
that's
I'm like, all right, this movie's got me.
Yeah, it immediately doesn't cut away. It immediately lets you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Which is like, I think this was a nasty, too. At least it came up on a nasty list at some point. So it was considered graphic enough to be banned in Europe. I mean, it was, you know, people definitely reacted to it. The huge part of what makes this movie successful is that. Is exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
It's that...
It gets you right away.
Right. And it gives you exactly
moves,
what you want
it
throughout.
It
keeps moving, yeah.
yeah.
Keeps moving. It keeps giving you kills. Like I said, an issue with Final Exam is that they have a kill in the beginning, and then it's an hour of sitting around waiting. Like, the filmmakers thinking that you want, that you care and want to spend time with all these people. And in this movie, it's not that there's anybody unlikable in this movie. This cast is much more likable than Final Exam cast was. You know, like you know what I mean? But you do want to, it's a slasher movie. You want a kill every 10 or 15 minutes. Like, you know,
yeah, just to keep you entertained.
Right. You want that. You want it to keep going. You want the people to be disappearing because it's kind of the point of the movie is that people are going to kind of disappear and, you know, 10 Little Indians type stuff where someone's going to, eventually you're going to get down to your last person. But speaking of the last person, I just want to get, I got to talk about the end. Right. There's another thing that this movie does, man, that I was like, movies don't do this. Slash movies don't do this. Spoiler alert, but I mean, I warned about spoilers, but they kill the final girl. He throws her in a fucking incinerator and burns her alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is
and the dude gets away with all of it.
Yeah.
Right? He gets away with it.
Pretty much, yeah, because there's nobody left to say he did it anyways.
Right, and he already blamed it on the other guy.
But they make you think she's going to get away.
They make you think the whole time she's going to get away.
Yeah, they're like, she's free, she's done, right. And then all of a sudden, just happens.
And even at that point where he's carrying her to the incinerator, you're like, all right, well, I've seen this before.
Cops are going to show up, shoot him in the back.
Right, or she's going to wake up at the last minute and like bang him on the head and push him in. You know, it's going to be, nope. It's funny, man, because they have that scene where like the cops are standing outside and the smoke's coming out.
And he's like, it smells funny.
Yeah, it smells funny. He's like, eh, they're tearing the building down in a week anyway, so who cares? It's just the smell of a fucking body being incinerated.
Yeah, because that's the last scene is just them standing out front. And
the smoke coming out of the incinerator, out of the pipe.
Yeah.
And you knowing that.
And they're standing like right next to it.
Right. Yeah. The cops are just like, case closed. That's basically what they say. Case closed. It was that crazy curly-haired guy.
Yeah.
And like the other guy completely gets away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not unusual for, like, a slasher to, like, disappear at the end of the movie to set up a sequel. It's unusual for the slasher to kill every single person, every single main character.
Yeah.
Definitely that final girl.
Usually have the final girl.
And she's set up as the final girl. So, you know, like, she goes through a lot, and you assume she's going to win. When he fucking throws her in that thing, I was like, yeah, this movie gets props.
Yeah, this movie gets real props. This was a kick-ass film.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to check out the longer cut and see.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great. It's, you know, low budget and gritty, and it's got a nice little, like, early 80s exploitation feel to it. Good sort of low budget effects. And, yeah, no, I really, really dug this one. Really liked it. And definitely agree with you. I got to get that Blu-ray. I got to see what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. Is it out already?
Oh, yeah, it's been out for a long time. It can be relatively hard to find. Like, I know it goes out of stock sometimes, and it is expensive. I mean, I've never seen it drop below, like, $20. Like, it's the cheapest I've seen it. It never goes cheap. I don't know why, but. So.
Yeah, no, that's all I got on it. Check it out. Actually, just buy the Blu-ray. Mm. If you can find it cheap enough, or it's probably Screen Factory put it out, I would assume.
No, it was Synapse, I believe.
Was it Synapse?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
All right. So, check it out.
All right, last movie.
Last movie.
Girls' Night Out.
Girls' Night Out. The trailer that I have is called The Scare Maker. It had two names.
Okay.
So,
wait, do you have the trailer with the girl on the bed?
I don't know. I just have it queued up in YouTube.
Okay.
And it says Scare Maker. It's, well, I typed in Girls' Night Out trailer. It comes up as Girls' Night Out, a.k.a. Scare Maker.
Okay.
So, 1984. So, what's the...
The scavenger hunt was the biggest college weekend of the year, an event that would lead from parties to graveyards. It was just another way to kill time.
Who is it? I like it. I mean, wait a minute. Benson! God, grab me out!
I'm Teddy Ratliff, captain of the basketball team.
Hi, I'm Don Sorensen, and I couldn't care less.
Then one night they took old Dickie out into the woods. Dickie came back. Mine just kind of stayed out there. Who is it? How are you?
But something terrible happened. A dead man came home.
You heard him, McVeigh.
Dickie. How? She is number
hell is this?
Dickie Cavanaugh.
Dickie Cavanaugh, you bastard, you're locked away.
The Scare Maker will take you places you've never been.
Janie?
He will watch the life run out of you.
Janie! 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 Oh, my God! That's it!
Oh, God, I don't know what's happening.
Just calm down. Just be right there. I'll be right over.
I don't want to be here. I want to go over right now. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
His corpse is sickening cold. It's too late when your heart races and pounds and you feel your blood rushing through your veins. Never has terror been so real until you've met the Scare Maker. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
That was a terrible trailer, brother.
Yeah, it was.
That's a terrible alternate title. Scare Maker. I don't know if that's what it was originally called. I think it was shot. This might have been one of those movies that was shot in the early 80s. It wasn't released till 84. Maybe that was the original title. And then Girls Night Out. Either way, Girls Night Out's a better title the way. It's such,
Scare Maker.
Yeah.
That guy made it sound cool.
He made it sound cool, but that's a really lame title. Yeah. The Scare Maker. Like, Girls Night Out, that's a great title to me. And the way they spell it, the N-I-T-E instead of the N-I-G-H-T, I don't know, yeah. I think it's a far superior. So anyway, Girls Night Out is basically about, it's on a college campus, of course, and there's a group of fraternity and sorority people, and every year they take part in this scavenger hunt on campus, and then this year during the scavenger hunt, some dude decides he's going to dress up in the mascot costume of a bear and run around with, like, steak knives in his hand and cut up all the people on campus. And, you know, we're set up, of course, with our regular red herrings and all that. But, I mean, I think the... Whoa, shit, sorry. I think the thing about Girls Night Out immediately that's probably really sets it apart and keeps it interesting for viewers is the fact that the killer's wearing a bear costume through the whole movie.
Yeah, and not only that, he takes 4 steak knives.
Yeah.
And puts them through the costume as claws.
Yeah, I mean, it's
really creative.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you probably haven't seen before. And I think when we did our Night Before Easter review, I had mentioned Girls Night Out because I would be surprised if they weren't using this as some inspiration there. Because, you know, Night Before Easter was a guy in a bunny costume. And here it's a person in a bear costume, you know. Yeah. And I think that really sets it apart in a way that, like, it's interesting because it's kind of, you know, like, silly or dumb or whatever. But when he gets down to, like, actually killing people, it's actually really, really rough. Like, the kills in the movie are actually pretty graphic and pretty violent.
Oh,
considering
yeah.
they're being done by a giant bear.
Yeah. You know, they're so awesome.
Yeah, there's something really odd about that sort of, you know, contrast of that. Like this fuzzy mascot brutally murdering co-eds with steak knives.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it works so well.
It does work.
Like
yeah,
one thing,
really well.
I know you posted a picture of it when you were watching it up on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like when the bear is outside the window mm-hmm. and he just kind of like pops up.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and when he puts his hand through whatever, and then it really is like, it's not, this movie is not soft in its killing. It's not, like, you think like a movie, oh, it's about a guy in a bear costume, it's going to be really, really kind of funny or whatever. This movie is not, this movie takes itself pretty seriously in a really weird kind of way. You know, it's not really jokey or anything, and I kind of appreciate that about it, that it takes itself as seriously as it does. Now, I think the movie has a great red herring. It's got that dude who, like, calls all the girls bitches.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you're all a bunch of whores, you stupid bitches. And you're like, all right, so we're clearly supposed to think this guy's
with
the killer.
With his gnarly-ass haircut.
Yeah.
He's like a weird mullet. Huh?
Yeah, like, actually, I think he might have stepped onto Final Exam at some point and started killing people. That was, like, the sequel.
Yeah, and even with, like, when the cop talks to him. And he's just so disturbing.
I know.
At that point, wouldn't the cop just be like, hey, listen, like, yeah. You need help?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I'm not going
to... Because, again, isn't his reaction... Interesting. That's the son of Hal Holbrook, right? That's father and son.
Is it?
Well, the dude that plays the red herring, I don't have his name, but his last name was Holbrook. Then Hal Holbrook is in this, and he plays the cop, you know, like the main cop.
Yeah, that doesn't really do anything?
He doesn't, and from what I had read, like the little bit that I looked up on this movie, he apparently was on set for a day. They got it. It was one of those movies they got him. Like, they were like, we got Hal Holbrook for a day. They brought him in, shot all his scenes separate from all the actors, and then they had the actors act like they were shooting with Hal Holbrook. So, like, the scene where he's talking to him, he's not really talking to him, and that other guy's not really talking to him. They're just...
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
Right? That's why it always cuts, like, to Hal Holbrook by himself. You know what I mean? Like, it was him reacting to shit.
Yeah, but I mean, they
could have
at least just put the cop costume on somebody else and did a back shot.
To try to make it a little
bit more.
To try
to make it look like he was there instead of cutting back and forth, back and forth.
This, let's see, who's in... Oh, Julia Montgomery's in this, by the way. She plays Lynn Connors, the primary girl. She was in Revenge of the Nerds, and she played Betty, the one that Lewis would end up betting on the moon at the carnival. She was the main girl there. Let's see. So, yeah, it was shot in 1982 under the title The Scare Makers, so that's why it has that title. Didn't see release till 1984 when distributors picked it up and renamed it Girls' Night Out to play up the lurid angle for marketing. Which makes sense, but it's not really a lurid film, not really. Oh, yeah, Hal Holbrook shot all of his scenes in one day. His footage was edited into the film to make it seem like he was interacting with other cast members, though his footage was shot separately. With the exception of a nighttime crime scene, he never appears in the same frame shot with the other actors or actresses. That's just, I don't see the point, you know, like, oh yeah, film debuts of David Holbrook and Julia Montgomery, so I'm just assuming that's his son, but I don't know for sure. You know, I feel like...
Wait, the cop and the red herring?
Yeah, Hal Holbrook and David.
He couldn't just be like, hey, Dad.
You'd think so, right?
Just give us a couple extra hours here so we can make this look
right, good. This is my movie. This is like my debut movie.
Yeah, help me out
here. He was in Creepshow 2.
I'll do the dishes when I get home.
Yeah, exactly. He was in Creepshow 2. Let's see. I'm not seeing anything, so maybe it's just a coincidence that they have the same last name. Because he's the stepson of Dixie. Oh, yeah, son of Hal Holbrook. There it is. So, yes, he is. So, his father actually was probably there for one day to do his son a favor. And they were probably like, all right, we got... They probably cast him, David Holbrook, hoping that they would get his
father.
Get
his dad, yeah.
They're like, all right, man, you want to be in the movie? All right, we'll put him in the movie. Maybe his dad will stop by and we'll get to shoot him. But, I mean, really... I don't see the point. I mean, like, oh, we're going to just to have Hal Holbrook in it. Fuck cares.
Yeah. You know, it's way didn't really do anything.
No. I do have some issues with the movie. I do like it, but I feel like it's a little weird. Like, I feel like a lot of stuff happens in the middle of the movie, and then there's, like, this weird investigation stuff the day after the scavenger hunt. We're like, the entire movie should take place on the night of the scavenger hunt. Begin, like, middle and end should all take place there, but they don't. Scavenger hunt happens, a bunch of people die, and then they go to the next day where they're, like, interviewing potential suspects and people who saw it happen and this and that. And that's weird to me. Like, that feels like it stops everything that you've kind of been building up. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I understand that.
You know, it's like, yeah. I assume that this whole movie would take place during the scavenger hunt. That makes I think it's a great setup. You know, I think it's like, it's the same thing again, Night Before Easter, they set it up as we're going to play hide and seek. You set it around a game where people have to separate themselves from the group, it all makes sense, and you kill them all off one by one. I like that the killer was planting clues and things like that, and then it just like, that kind of goes away in favor of this other thing. And then you obviously find out who the killer was and all that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they
like stop. The whole...
You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. It's kind of weird the way they do it, because it's just like a radio announcer going, it's all over, guys. Go home, or go back to your dorms.
Exactly, right. Yeah. And that's like, that should be the end of the movie then. But it's not. You know, you have to now go
and
through
then it
all
starts this... over this whole new, like, storyline.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying?
It goes into a whole different arc.
It's weird. I don't get why they did that.
I didn't actually think about that when I was watching it either, until you just said that.
It doesn't feel like a slasher movie anymore at that point. It feels like something different. But it's also worth mentioning the soundtrack in this movie is really bizarre. Because I'm thinking they had the Love and Spoonful. And they sing that song like Hot Night, Summer in the City. And then they have what's the other one? There's like three songs that they play in this movie over and over and over again that they clearly got the licensing rights to. And I'm pretty sure they just spend all the money on that. Like, how many times is this DJ going to play Summer in the City?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how many times in one fucking night would he play that song? And what was the other one? Like, Do You Believe in Magic?
Yeah, and, I think it played like twice.
Like, yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy. That song, right?
Yeah. I remember that one, but I do remember It's Magic, you know, or whatever it was.
Is it Do You Believe in Magic? Was that the song? Or was it
I don't think
else?
It was like that song, but it was something like that. Because it played like twice.
Yeah. Because all the songs played like at least twice.
Because I was like in the beginning of Scavenger Hunt, they play it, and then, you know, you don't think anything of it. And then later on, they play it again. You're like, can I just hear that?
Yeah, they really do that. It's like, and here's Summer in the City. And then like an hour later, he's like, here's Summer in the City. You're like, all right, well. I guess it's not that much different from, like, you listen to, like, a pop station today. You're going to hear the same 10 songs every hour.
Oh, yeah.
Hour, you
know? It used to be top 40. Now it's top 10.
Yeah. It's just getting. Yeah. It's like top 5 sometimes. Yeah. You'll be like, all right, we got the top 5. And then, like, a half an hour, they're like, all right, we got today's top 5. And I'm like, wait a minute. We just finished the top 5.
I don't even listen to the radio anymore.
Nah,
so.
It's a waste of time. You should be listening to podcasts.
Yeah. Listen to this podcast.
So, I don't know. I don't know. Do you want to spoil the killer, or you want to leave that as is?
Yeah, I wouldn't spoil it because I do want people to watch this.
Yeah, it's a good movie, right?
Yeah,
it is a good movie. It's
got pretty kick-ass,
but
it's definitely got its flaws. But it's definitely something you should sit down and watch on a weekend.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's good. So, anything else on that?
No, I think that's it. I think I'm good with that. They were good. They're fun movies to watch. You know, it's not a lot in them. These kind of movies, these slasher movies, but I wanted to cover them because I just like watching slasher movies.
That's I mean, they're standard 80s slasher films, you know, low budget.
Yeah, I mean, we went with all low budget ones, but they're fun. Final Exam's not fun. But the other two are definitely worth your time. If you haven't seen them, I can easily recommend checking them out because they are fun. They are decent sort of early 80s low budget slasher movies. So,
All right. So that's that. Yeah. You want to do that?
Let's do that. So, we have, I don't know if anybody who listens to this show may be aware that we've been reviewing some artsploitation stuff. Well, we actually have some stuff we're going to be giving away. We've never given away stuff before. This is new for us, right? We're going to see how it goes. And hoping that, I know we have some loyal listeners. I know we have them.
Yep.
And if you're a loyal listener and you think you might want to win, say, a Blu-ray copy of Dirt Samurai from Artsploitation, we want to give that to you, right? Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it on here, obviously. We are going to post this on Twitter and Facebook. And the only thing you will need to do is make sure you like us on Facebook, right? Don't worry about Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, okay, fine. Hopefully you see this on Facebook or you listen to the show and you see this because we know our stuff doesn't always show up on Facebook either. But you go on Facebook. We're going to post a thing.
Yeah,
you'd like it, probably share it, and it's just going to help support us. We're just looking to further sort of get our name out there and hoping that the people that do like our show, that do support our show, can sort of help us with that, and we'll reward you with a copy of this. So everybody that likes and shares that status, which will go up at some point within the next week, will be in the running for this Blu-ray copy of Dirt Samurai.
Yeah.
So that's as simple as that, right?
That easy. We got a few other things we're probably going to be giving away.
Yes, we have some stuff lined up, and we want to continue to do this, so we hope that people will, you know, we don't need a large amount of people to get behind this, but we want to, you know.
Yeah, well, Facebook always doesn't show you everything.
Yeah.
So if you do listen, just head over to the Facebook page periodically.
Right.
If you haven't seen, because we're always posting something somewheres, and you don't always see it.
Right.
So, you know, just stop over periodically. Right.
And we really do want to, you know, reward anybody who's paying attention. You know, we do want to do that.
So, Yeah, so after this airs, within a few days, either Adam or I will post on the Facebook page what you need to do, and you will get a free Blu-ray copy of Dirt Samurai.
If you win.
Yeah, if you win.
Not everyone will
get
it.
Yeah, no, not everyone. I don't have that many copies.
But we want to give back to the people who support the show, so that's sort of where we're going, and we have more stuff lined up, so if this works out even relatively well for us to a point where we think it's worth it, we're going to give out more stuff. And it's good stuff. Yeah. We're not giving away shit.
They're all brand new.
These are good. These are good stuff.
So,
all right, that's it. And next show is going to be, what do you watch?
I got Metamorphosis, The Alien Factor.
Yes.
I think from 91.
91.
Yeah.
And I had decided on Extro, correct?
Yeah.
We did decide on that. That's from 82. 81 or 82.
That's X-TRO.
Yes, to anyone who doesn't know. It's X, letter X-TRO. And it's a really fucking out there early 80s alien movie. So we're going to watch that.
Two alien movies.
Yeah, I figured. I don't know if Metamorphosis is an action alien movie, but it's called Metamorphosis, The Alien Factor. So they're selling it that way in the title. I have no idea what that movie's about. I've never seen it.
It's awesome.
So, okay.
It's really awesome.
I'll take your word for it. We'll find out.
Let's just say there's a scene with a human body that just metamorphs, well,
let
which
me
is awesome.
Say that there's a scene in this where a woman gives birth to a full-size man.
That's got to be rough,
if I remember correctly.
Most women are like, try to push a watermelon out.
I know.
Try to push out a full-grown man.
Imagine one of us. That's that. That'll be a fun show. Those are going to be.
All right. So, yeah, webpage is midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com, and we'll see you next time.
All right.